pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear this great plan that you have for your world, to be reminded of your promises, to see their fulfillment, and to look ahead to the future when they will be fully fulfilled. Please enable us to grasp your loving purposes afresh this evening as we turn to your word, and we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, of course, today is Advent Sunday, and I wonder what comes to mind for you when the word Advent is mentioned. Well, I think it's clear that for many in our country at the moment, the word calendar comes to mind. Just a quick look at eBay last week showed 1,500 different Advent calendars are currently available. On a community internet forum, I found the following post. Our six-week-old daughter has been bought an Advent calendar by one of her grandmas. As clearly she can't open or eat the daily treat that has fallen to her mother and I. Imagine my delight when I discovered on the inside of each window there's a classic Christmas joke. So, for the 1st of December, what do you get if you cross a snowman with a shark? Frostbite. And the contributor added, it's going to be a long month. Well, Advent calendars, bad jokes, and over-the-top house decorations are all part of the celebrations associated with this time of the year these days. And that's fair enough in many ways, because when Jesus was born that first Christmas, there was, of course, great celebration. Remember the angels praising God and singing about how great God was. Now, Advent has come to mean, in the popular mind, getting ready for Christmas, though it literally means coming or arrival. And traditionally, it is about getting ready for the coming of Jesus, remembered the first time at Christmas. But also, it's about getting ready as we look forward to his second arrival, his second Advent or coming. Jesus promised, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, that there will be an event at some time unknown in the future when he will return to earth, when he will be fully known as king by everyone, and when right will be recognized as right, and when all that is wrong and evil and opposed to good will be shown to be wrong. Now, the Bible tells us that at this second advent of Jesus, there will be great celebrations in heaven. And in our reading from Revelation chapter 7, the final reading Cynthia read for us, we get a window into heaven, which helps us to see what it will be like. Now, the book of Revelation shows that Jesus has won the ultimate victory over evil. And those who are his people share in that victory. And even though life on earth may well have many challenges, in the end, when Jesus returns in all his greatness, that victory will be complete. The future is bright for God's people. So what will heaven be like? What will that celebration be like? Well, the first thing we notice as we look at that reading is that in heaven, that celebration will be something enjoyed by many altogether. We read, and all the angels were standing around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. Now, as we've already recalled, at that first coming, the first coming of Jesus, the first Christmas, there were angels on that hillside above Bethlehem. And as we get this glimpse of heaven's celebration after Jesus' return to earth in victory, we again see angels. God's messengers, his servants, will be praising God for his greatness and his goodness. But there's another group, what are referred to as elders, who were there standing around the throne. Now, elders seem to represent all of God's people from all of history. Some of them very well known, others not well known. And also John tells us that there are four living creatures. The book of Revelation is full of symbolism, most of it rooted in the Old Testament. These four living creatures seem to point forward to the good things that God has made from all the four corners of the earth. So all these are there. But do you remember who else will be there at that celebration? John tells us, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. You see, there will be an enormous crowd, a huge congregation of people praising God. Now, fascinatingly, this vast number of people have been gathered from all over the world. After this I looked, says John, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. So there will be this uncountable number of people from all races, all backgrounds, all the countries, people and language groups of the world will be represented. There'll be Nepalis, Swiss, Kazakhs, Omanis, Afghans, Sudanese, Chileans, Zulus, and even people from Yorkshire. Now, this is not just something to look forward to, but it is, of course, also a great inspiration. These people there thanking God for rescuing them through Jesus, and they cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation, rescue belongs to our God who sits on the throne." You see, we get an experience of heaven in an early prefigured way, in different ways, when people from different backgrounds, with different skin colours, from different cultures, speaking different languages, meet together, thanking God for his love in his Son. And so as churches, we should be inspired to share that same good news with all kinds of people. No one will be off limits. And also we shall be inspired to support that task all over the world through folks who are there trying to do that very thing. And that's a great thing that here at All Saints we're able to share with mission partners all over God's world, as that board just over there illustrates for us. And remember that that vast crowd from all over the world are part of a continuous, joyful celebration, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." I wonder if you've ever thought that when we praise God together with others, we're getting a foretaste of heaven, a foretaste of that celebration. We're involved in a sort of rehearsal for that heavenly congregation. So when we sing praise to God as we are this evening, when we help to lead the praise of God's people, perhaps as a musician or a member of the music group or the choir, we're doing something that God's people will do in the celebration that is heaven. And here's yet another encouragement to meet regularly with the church family so that we don't miss out on that very anticipation of heaven. So in the celebration that will be heaven, there will be many all together. But as we see this reality, as we think about it, we might ask a very important question, indeed one that is asked in the reading itself. How will anyone be part of this celebration that will be heaven? Now, we read that very sober parable of Jesus, the parable of the talents. And one of the things that's clear from that is that Jesus is saying that not everybody will be part of the celebration of heaven. Indeed, Jesus says things rather like that quite regularly. So why are these people from different parts of the world in that heavenly celebration? Is it because they're particularly good people? People who have earned their place through their religious practice? People who are decent citizens? People who have brought up their children well, worked hard, not stolen anyone, not killed anyone? Well, it is a common misunderstanding to think that people will get to heaven because of such things. The popular but mistaken idea can be summed up in a simple word, D-O, do. Do this, do that, and God will accept you into heaven. But that is a very serious error if we think that we can get to heaven that way. You see, our reading shows us the real reason why anybody will be in heaven. one of the elders asks a question of John, which the elder goes on to answer himself, pointing us in the right direction. Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? And John says to him, Sir, you know. And the elder says to John, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So you see, those who will be in heaven will not be there because they are good or decent, those who do things, which somehow gives them the right to be there. Now, our reading reminds us that God is worthy to sit on a dazzling throne. He is utterly pure and perfect. To him, as the crowd gathered around the throne sing, are glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power. You see, in comparison to him, we human beings are completely and utterly unworthy. We've all turned away from him. We fail to recognize him as he truly is, putting ourselves at the center of the world rather than him as he deserves to be. And that, of course, has very many messy consequences for our world and for our relationships with each other. This makes us unclean to God and totally unsuitable for his perfect presence. And yet, God has provided a way by which guilty, unclean people like me, like you, can be with him. Do you remember the crowd in heaven? They wore white robes. Now, white is a symbol of being clean. But we've seen all people are unclean to God. So how can they be clean? Well, these people's robes, we're told, have been washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, here again is one of the book of Revelation's very clear symbols. The Lamb is a symbol of Jesus. Jesus, the man who is God, the one who died on the cross that first Easter, and who died like a sacrificial lamb, an image very familiar to anybody who has read the Old Testament. Now, the amazing thing that this points us to is that through Jesus' death on the cross, God can deal with the uncleanness of people. He can wash people clean on the inside. He can make the dirty robes of human lives white, transforming people, transferring to people Jesus' goodness. So people can be made suitable for God's perfect presence. So the only way to be in heaven is to be made clean by Jesus. And that happens when, like those in the crowd, we make it our own. And that means making the soiled robes of our lives white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, we each turn back to him and rely on what he has done on the cross, proved right and true by his rising from the dead. Amazingly then, those who are unfit in themselves can be made fit for God, not because of anything that's good in ourselves, but purely because of his undeserved kindness and generous love in Jesus. So we don't get to heaven because we do, but actually because of what can be summed up in another word. D-O-N-E, done. God in Jesus has done all that is required. And through him, he can rescue us and fit us for heaven. No wonder then that this crowd who are gathered there in heaven spend their time praising God and thanking him for the rescue that he has made possible in his Son. Salvation or rescue belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That is their hymn. So can I ask us this evening, what are you relying on to gain you entry to God's celebration that will be heaven? What you see is your own goodness, your own efforts, what you do? Or is it on the basis of what Jesus has done for you? Well, there's one other final brief thing to recognize about that party that will be in heaven. We all know that life in this world is a mixture of good and difficult. things are sometimes that which leads us to joy, other times to sadness. We live in our experience times where life is at the forefront, other times when death is before us. And this is because we human beings have turned away from the God who has given us life in the first place. The world God made good has been spoiled, it's been broken. So there are accidents and natural disasters. There's wars and famines, bad weather. People let us down. We fail others. There's opposition for those who put their trust and reliance on God. And death and decay are not far from any of us. But the wonderful thing about Jesus' second advent is that he will remake this broken world. There will be no more suffering and difficulty. No longer will the fault line that runs through human experience because of our turning away from God affect things. God will mend the whole earth so that it will be as it's meant to be. Not merely restored without all that is bad, but actually made something perfect and whole. The final words of our reading are a great encouragement to those who are relying on Jesus' death and resurrection and looking ahead to heaven. Do you remember them? Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, those who have begun to receive on earth the benefits of what Jesus has done in his cross will receive the full benefits in heaven when Jesus returns. Nothing of the brokenness of this world will remain. Nothing damaging will be left. There will be no more suffering or illness or difficulty. Jesus' victory will be fully known, and he will be in the center of everything where he belongs. Well, Advent makes us think of the great celebrations of Jesus' first Advent, his first coming at Christmas, and also his second, when heaven will be a great party. Now, we've seen that there will be a great crowd from every corner of the earth praising God. And all those who are there will not be there through anything that they have done, but because they've relied on what God has done through Jesus' death, washing them clean. And all Jesus' people will enjoy life as it's meant to be, centered on him, without the brokenness that we so often experience in this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great vision of hope. We pray that you would work these truths in our lives. Give us the grace that we need to grasp them and to live in the light of them. Please help us as we look forward to remembering that first coming, to remember that there will be a second coming of Jesus when his victory will be complete. And we pray for his sake. Amen.